Withstanding the Fire, an exposition of Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 28. This message by Andrew Hoyt was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, April the 15th, 2012.
Well, good evening. Only in Oklahoma, where 12 hours earlier when it's raining, storming, we'll have sunshine 12 hours later. So the weather here never ceases to amaze me. Little known fact about myself, to say when I was younger that I was full of energy and rambunctious is putting it rather lightly. I was the typical highly energetic little boy, loved playing in the dirt, running around outside, and I loved fire. Sounds a little dangerous. One thing I loved about fire is being with my dad when he would build bonfires. You know, we would cut down branches and drag them and build these big bonfires. And watching him start that expertly, how he would, he'd have a system that it would spread, you know, efficiently and burn the bonfire down perfectly. And as a little kid, I would just stand in awe as this great flame would engulf this mound, not affecting anything around it, and it would soon turn to ash. That whole image of fire, how so quickly it can catch out of control, but when it's contained, it can be an agent of something greater. Fire can be an agent of chaos, like the grass fires we've had already in March over in Omogee County, and every summer there always seems to be stories of grass fires. When fire gets out of control, it can destroy, but when maintained, it's a catalyst for beauty. My wife's friend, her husband, him and his father have a company where they create different glass objects. They're glass blowers. And what glass blowers do is they'll get broken shards of glass on an iron rod and stick it in this heated furnace, thousands of degrees, that'll melt the glass down, and they can use that to construct these beautiful creations. This fire contained in this furnace can create this beautiful creation. Fire is used to refine precious metals into the beauty that they are. Today I want to kind of talk about that idea of how in our Christian lives, that when we're diligent, when we live centered in God, that we can withstand the fiery trials that we face, the refining fire that God leads us through. That if we aren't centered in God, if we don't maintain our Christian walk, then the opponents that seek to bring us down will succeed in overwhelming us. But if we're diligent, if we are centered in God and we maintain our Christian walk, then when we do face our opponents, God will lead us through. And that leads us to our text tonight, found in Daniel chapter 3. As we're turning there, I want us to think about the idea tonight that a life centered in God must be a daily pursuit. And before we read, let's open with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have gathered us here to worship you, Father. And I pray that you open the word to us and just speak through the words here. I'm not worthy to proclaim this message, Father, but only through you that your word may be spoken and your spirit move among us. I pray that you would have us hear what you would have us hear tonight, Father. And all these things I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most powerful and egotistical kings of his day. He ruled a mighty kingdom. It was the greatest kingdom of that time. He controlled so much power. His wealth was unmatchable in the kingdom. And during his reign, to kind of pay tribute to himself, he decided he wanted to build this great image of himself. He wanted to build this great image of gold and set it up so that all his governors, all his rulers, could come and pay tribute to that image. They can come and pay tribute to the image of him. So one day he gathered all these people, these hundreds of people around this image, and that when this certain music would play, they would all fall down and worship his likeness. So like clockwork, the people began to show up and gather around this image. And when the music played, one by one, people began falling and paying homage to this image. But then something happened. Something extraordinary happened. In Daniel chapter 3, we see a very familiar story about three of Daniel's friends, who stood against the king's command. And I want us to look at this story, and there's three things we can see from this story. The first is seen starting in verse 4 down through verse 7. And it reads, "Then the herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.' So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image with which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." The first idea I want us to see here in the story is that living for God means complete obedience. Here are Daniel's friends who are a part of the leadership among the kingdom. They had established themselves pretty well, and they knew full well of what the king's decrees meant and how solidified those were. And here they were, commanded to bow before this image. And when the time came, these friends, they stood, and they did not bow. You see, being obedient to God means being obedient all the way, and not just part of the way. We have a couple of choices. When we're faced with a situation where to be completely obedient, we have a couple of choices we're faced with. Are we just going to be mentally obedient? Are we just going to agree with our minds, but in our actions follow through, but all the while thinking, well, I don't really agree with this, but I'll go ahead with it. You know, our actions may go along, but our minds still are in obedience. Is obeying all the way, is obeying part of the way the same thing? We are called to complete obedience. We're called to stand fully for God. Just like those friends did, they stood in opposition to the king when it called for them to worship another god. And even in the face of opposition, we are called to this complete obedience to God's will. In our lives, there is this great image of sin before us every day. We're faced with the temptation to sin. And what is our choice? What do we do when we're before this day by day? Do we succumb to our sin and waver in our obedience? Or do we stand and center ourselves in obedience to God? Living for God means obeying completely and centering ourselves in Him. The second thing we see is down in verse 8 through 18. And the second idea we see is that living for God means living courageously. In verse 8 we see, "Therefore at a time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Here these men are. They're brought before the king. Their name has been slandered because they stood in opposition to the decree of the king. Standing in complete obedience in accordance to God's will means doing so with the knowledge that we'll be in opposition to those who hate God. See, Daniel's friends knew full well what they were doing, and they knew full well what the punishment would have been. When we obey God and we live courageously and stand firm in His will, it'll attract those who wish to bring us down and attract those who seek to destroy us. Nebuchadnezzar, his ego was rather large, but his rage and his anger was bigger. And he was going to make sure his point came across. And so he brought these men forward and threatened them, saying, you will be cast immediately. And here these men stood, seeing death imminent, and said, we will not. Our God will deliver us. And even more so, they said, but if not, God will be known. They knew that even if they were to die, that they were still going to be obedient to God, and God's name would still be known. How courageous are they, and how courageous was their example for us, that living for God not only means living completely obedient, but also living courageously for Him. That furnace was immediately cranked up in its heat. It was so hot that you can imagine the heat wave come off of it. But Nebuchadnezzar was so angry with them, he ordered it to be cranked up even more. The heat of it was increased fourfold. So as these men were brought by the mighty men to cast into this flame, the strong men were even, they perished even as they got close. And here these three friends were cast into the fiery furnace. As we live and we try to stand in opposition to sin, and we face persecution, it's hard. It's hard to stand and be diligent when we're constantly being told by the world around us that we're wrong and we're bad for thinking the way we do. But we're called to stand firm. But even when times when it's hard and we don't see, and we see persecution imminent, how do we do it? Where does our faith come from? And who will deliver us? Where does our assurance come from? We live for God. We live courageously. We live obediently. The third thing we see is that when we live for God, we experience the assurance of His loving presence. My father was a very strong man. He worked most of his life in a refinery, which earlier in his career involved a lot of pipe fitting. And that involved taking various tools and bending stainless steel pipe into various precise measurements and making them fit. So needless to say, my father's grip was the strongest of any man's I've ever known in my life. The man had a vice grip like no other. He was exceedingly strong. He loved working at the refinery, but one thing he also loved was climbing in trees and cutting them down. Maybe not in that exact order, but I remember one day we were roping down a tree, and that included taking the branches down first, the ones that were threatening the house, roping them down, and then cutting the tree down. And I was helping him. I was about 13 years old, and we were roping down limbs, and everything was going great. He was up there hanging onto a branch with his handheld chainsaw in one arm, scary as it was, until we got to one branch that was roped off a little bit bigger than we both had expected. And as he began to cut, I'm on one end. The branch broke sooner than we both expected. And here I was yanked, my scrawny little 13-year-old self, into the path of this falling branch. Suddenly, my father reaches down and with a gorilla grip grabs that rope and helps me guide that branch down. We were able to get safely on the ground and no one was hurt. While that was an adrenaline rush for me, I was never fearful that entire time because I knew the strength of my father and I had assurance in his control of that situation. How much more when we live centered in God do we have assurance of His strength in our lives? And we have assurance of His guidance wherever we go. And when we find ourselves in a fiery furnace, how He can guide us through that, refined and renewed. Nebuchadnezzar has just cast these men in the hottest fiery furnace he could create. And then suddenly, looking inside, he is astonished at what he sees. He cannot believe what he sees inside. He calls for his men to bring these men out. Bring them out quickly. And as these men walk out, everyone around them is astonished that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are untouched by the flame. We see the rest of the story starting in verse 19 down through 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men, loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Then the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw that these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor was their garments affected. The smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God." When we are completely and courageously obedient, we are filled with the assurance of God's presence. Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace and saw a fourth person there. Some translations say the Son of God or a likeness of the Son of God. What we do know is that God's presence was with His faithful. When we're being led through the fiery trials of temptations and persecutions, we can rest assured that God is with us every step of the way. When we face trials, and we will, God brings us through them renewed and refined. Just like a precious metal refined by fire, when we are faithful to God, He leads us through. The great image of sin stands before us. And when this temptation to sin seems inescapable, what will we do? Living for God means centering our lives in obedience and faithfulness to Him. Living for Him means doing this knowing that we'll be ridiculed and persecuted. We do this knowing that we will face persecution for the stand we make. A couple months ago, on live television in an interview, Kirk Cameron made a biblical stance for something he believed and that was true. Knowingly doing this knowing that a controversy would spread immediately as soon as those words came out of his mouth on live television. Immediately, the media jumped on this and began to slander his name and try to bring him down and smear his name. But through the several weeks of that, Kirk Cameron never wavered in his stance and his defense of the Bible. He did this knowing that there would be an immediate response. He took a stand for God. Are we willing to make a stand for God? Are we willing to put aside the temptations of sin that plague us daily? Are we willing to stand for God, even if that means sacrificing our reputation, social position, or even our lives? Being a follower of God places us in the path of persecution. But being his follower places us in the strongest arms we could ever hope to find ourselves in. By living for him, we find security in the solid rock that will never fail. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for opening the Word to us tonight, Father. And I just pray that you help guide us and lead us through the persecutions and through the trials that we face. We pray that we come and be stronger in your word, in your name. These things in your son's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.